Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Good to be with you. I'm Pastor Lindsay. Welcome to First UMC here at our Brighton campus. It's exciting to welcome you in this morning for worship. I hope you've picked up a cup of coffee, enjoyed some donuts and some fellowship time, and made your way into a comfortable seat here in this nice, cool, air-conditioned sanctuary. This morning in worship, we are going to look forward to some wonderful music as we worship and praise God together. Later in worship, we're going to hear some mission moment updates, and so look for that. And I would also invite children that might like to be at Sunday school. You are invited to be a part of the Sunday school. If you need help finding it, hop on the elevator and downstairs you'll end up in the Sunday school area. We'd love to have you be a part of Sunday school for kids, elementary kids, middle school kids. You're welcome to be a part of that. We're a church that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God, and we do that through a variety of ways. A couple of those ways are noted in your bulletin. And so take a note of different announcements that are happening today and then this week and this month. A couple to flag is our musical theater camp is starting off today. There's a read-through at 2 o'clock. So if you are a part of musical theater camp, please connect with Susan, our director of music, on that. And then looking forward to our musical by our students on the 13th of August. So save the date for that. It'll be coming up. Second announcement to note is Vacation Bible School is coming off. We are blasting off into outer space this week, as you saw in the community room as you came on in. And so if you are volunteering with Vacation Bible School, thank you. If you're attending, look forward to it. But all volunteers, we would warmly invite you to come to a brief training at noon with Pastor Allison just out here in the community room. Come on out and we'll get you up to date, up to speed on what your volunteer roles and responsibilities are. Well, please take a moment to look at all the announcements at some point in service. And I'd also kindly invite you to fill out your connection card to stay connected. Prayer cards are in the pew backs if you'd like to fill those out. And with all that news and business shared, let's begin our time of worship together, praising God and centering our hearts and minds. Won't you please stand as you feel comfortable?
Thank you. with me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, we pray that you will open our eyes so that we can know how we should live. You tell us to love one another as you have loved us, but we are not you, and loving is difficult. Give us strength to be more loving towards each other, even as we face our differences, and help us to walk in your footsteps every step of the way. Amen. Please be seated.
You know, in even considering the words of the songs that we were just singing, we are asking God to open our eyes so that we can see, you know, as he sees and love as God loves. And a lot of times it's really helpful to have moments to step away from our everyday lives, you know, where we can really refocus and have our eyes open to how God sees things. And one of the best ways to do that with our youth and children is to go to camp. So I just want to say a few words about our students who went to camp this year. First off, I want to say thank you to all of you so, so much, because you gave over $3,500. Yay. And you're seeing some pictures right now on the screen of some of our campers who got to spend a whole week at camp on Lake Michigan back in June. And because of the money you gave, everyone was able to receive at least a half scholarship and more if they needed it. And we sent, for the summer, 16 campers to camp. So that is awesome. Mm-hmm. Good job. And then we also, so I helped, I ran the camp there for this particular week, the middle school age group. And then Ariel, who you may or may not know, she also went as an adult volunteer. So our camp, our church was very well represented at this camp, and they did a wonderful job. Our students helped in leading worship. Some of them sang. We had students help portray the Bible study or the Bible story through drama. No surprise there with Susan's wonderful teaching over the years. Lots of our students are willing to get up and act and be outgoing at camp. We had students who actually stepped up and did volunteer roles, and they served during the week. So I just saw so much growth in our students and our children over the week, and it's such an exciting thing to see when they step away from, you know, the everyday life, you know, at camp. There's no phones, there's, you know, no, I don't know, like the regular things you have to worry about, no homework, and we just get to enjoy, you know, God's creation, we get to enjoy the outdoors, and we really get to grow in community. And it's so awesome to see that, because the campers start out, you know, some of them know each other, but one thing I was really proud of is we have a very large group of especially junior high girls who went to camp, to the point that the junior high girl cabin was almost entirely our church. And so you know, I was a little worried, like, how would they do? And they really took in and accepted the other few girls that were from other churches and that they didn't know. By the end of the week, you couldn't tell, you know, who was who. And I just love seeing that, because that's a great example, and I could encourage them, you know, when we come back now, when new people come to youth group and church and at your school, you know, then it's good to welcome the new people. So anyway, it was really awesome to see that. And we don't have a lot of youth here today to testify about camp, because this just happens to be a week when almost everyone is on vacation, out of town, or in my case, my own three children, they loved camp so much that they're back this week. One of them is, one of them got a job working at camp the rest of the summer. One of them is volunteering as a counselor with younger kids, and one of them is attending another week of camp. So camp is, you know, just so much fun. I will quote one of my children. We had been home from camp about 2 days, and they walk in the kitchen, and they're like, "Mom, everyday life is so boring. I want to live at camp." So, well, they found a way to. So that's camp. You want me to talk about you? Okay. And then another exciting week that we had this summer was our youth mission trip. So a really, really awesome opportunity that our youth from 7th grade on up had to do was to serve a week here locally. And so I helped lead like the first 2 days of that effort, and Pastor Lindsay is going to fill you in on what they did the second part of the week. But the first part of the week, they came together and they put together a vacation Bible school experience to host at our Whitmore Lake campus. So typically, you know, in our VBS here at Brighton, we have a lot of adults in leadership roles and leading up here with, you know, the music and all of that. Well, at Whitmore Lake, it was all student-led. So they, you know, they led the singing and dancing at the beginning. They set the whole place up. They decorated. They led their crews of students around. You know, they just did so, so much. And it was awesome, because this team, they had the best attitudes. And I have to remind you that this was the week where it was about, I don't know, 90% humidity, and Whitmore Lake does not have air conditioning. So I did tell them as we were sweating through our clothes, like, now it's an official mission trip experience, so it does count. You have to get sweaty on mission trips. But as you can see, they did a great job, and it was really fun for them to be able to do that and to see, you know, the natural kind of leadership and service come out from them. So thanks for supporting them in that too.
The students did a great job with the Vacation Bible School for the first half of the week, and then the last half of the week, the students continued to grow in their love and service of God as they volunteered at the Gleaners Community Food Bank, connecting and serving in that way, and as well as going to Flint, where they served at the, were a part of the Freedom Schools there, which is our Readers to Leaders, Michigan conference-wide mission connection project, is supporting the Flint Freedom Schools. So we had an opportunity to connect and be a part of the Flint Freedom Schools there. Thank you so much for your generosity and the way you guys have prayed for the students, supported the students, and continue to be a vital part of their faith development and growth. Thank you.
Scripture reading for today is John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus is saying, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you have love for one another. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Randy. Well, I was noticing this morning as we stopped into a local coffee shop this morning to get some muffins for the kids. I was noticing that there some of the construction work in downtown is getting wrapped up. It's looking better. There was pavement on the way to the local coffee shop, so that's good, because all summer long, right, we've been noticing all of the construction work. We're still in this mode, 2396, we're still under construction, and we're here we are in our last day of the sermon series on under construction. I'll tell you what, I can't promise into construction any time in the community, but our construction work is going to wrap up here in the sanctuary, so I feel like that's good work. Hey, you know, there we go. That's good. The construction trucks will be put away and the building blocks will go back down to the Sunday school classroom, and all through June and July as we've been under construction, we've been thinking about not only our roads under construction, but we've been thinking about how the Holy Spirit has been working in our lives and transforming us, perhaps doing some construction work in our own lives as we seek to become more like Jesus every day. And we've also been thinking about how the Holy Spirit is working throughout our community of faith at First UMC, at our Brighton campus, at our Whitmore Lake campus, how the Spirit has been guiding us and leading us and empowering us to build a beloved community of God here in this place. So we're wrapping up the sermon series today. I hope that you're going to notice the construction work around you, but I hope you're going to be able to pay attention to how God is building and transforming and growing in your life. Well, one area that that is certainly under construction, I think, recently in the United Methodist Church is around conversations regarding human sexuality. And so this morning, we're going to be taking some time to be thinking about human sexuality in the United Methodist Church. And so my hope is this morning I'm going to share some general updates within the church worldwide and extend an invitation for some further conversations and to think about how our faith calls us to live in the world this morning and in this day of age. So if you have any reservations or concerns about having your child with you in worship today as we're thinking about human sexuality in the United Methodist Church, just know that they're welcome to come to Sunday school downstairs if you'd like to do that. It's on the elevators downstairs. Or if you have any reservations, you're welcome to step out for some time of refreshments in Fellowship Hall. You can make that choice, whatever's best for you and your family. If you do decide to slip out, that's completely fine. You can catch the sermon later on Facebook or YouTube. But I just wanted to extend that invitation to stay or do what's best for your family this morning as we're having this conversation around human sexuality in the United Methodist Church. Won't you please join me now in a word of prayer? Oh, God of love and God of grace, we give you thanks for this day, for this is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice, and we are glad in it. For on this day of Sabbath, this day of rejoicing, this day of praise and worship to you, we are mindful of your everlasting love and your never-ending grace. This day, we're also mindful of the times in which we have turned away from your love, the times in which we have not fully loved you or not loved our neighbor as ourself. Oh, Lord, forgive us and help us to turn from hurting you or ourselves or others and renew and strengthen our spirits to love as Christ loves. In this time of worship, may our minds rejoice in the love that Christ has for us and for the love that Christ calls us to share with this world. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, our United Methodist congregation here in Brighton, as well as in Whitmore Lake, it's one of many United Methodist congregations around the world. Did you know that the United Methodist Church has about 12 million members around the world? About 45,000 congregations all over the world, from the United States to Europe to Asia to Africa. The United Methodist Church is a large denomination, you can see, with 12 million people, a large denomination around the world. It's made up of beautiful people from a variety of countries and cultures and theological perspectives. United Methodists live out their faith in the world by turning to Scripture, of course, but also in our Wesleyan tradition, what we call the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, we turn to Scripture and we also look to tradition and reason and experience to live out our faith. And being guided by Scripture plus tradition and our intellectual reason and our personal experiences leads United Methodists worldwide to understand and live out their faith in a variety of contexts, from the United States to Asia to Africa to all over the world, in a variety of contexts and in a variety of theological expressions. So we say the United Methodist Church is a big tent church with lots of room for theological diversity. For example, United Methodists that grow as disciples through worship and study and prayer and service and inviting people to church and giving, and we can do this differently depending upon our context. So my 40 years of life, I've been blessed to be a part of a variety of congregations. This week I was thinking about all the United Methodist churches that I've been a part of in my life, and it got me thinking that they all hold in common the cross and flame logo someplace on their bulletin or on their building, but there's been unique congregational culture on each congregation I've been a part of. And there's been individuals that bring their own rich theological diversity and perspectives to the table. So, for example, I think about the rural congregation that I would attend with my grandparents in central Nebraska. Population of the whole town was less than 500, and we would worship about 15 on a Sunday morning. And that United Methodist congregation was different than my home congregation, which was across the street from a liberal arts college in Lincoln, Nebraska. And those congregations were different from the up north congregation that I worshiped at in Minnesota when I was a camp counselor at a United Methodist summer camp in my college days. Those were yet different than the congregation I worshiped at in downtown Honolulu at a United Methodist church there. After college, they had an English-speaking language service and a Tongan language-speaking service. Those worship services and congregations were so different. And yet, still, different experiences at a suburban congregation in the Chicago area that I interned at in seminary. We worshiped, you know, the attendance was up, we worshiped about 40 on a Sunday morning with deeply devoted disciples there. And then that congregation was definitely different from the 3,000-member church that I served in my first appointment in ministry. You can see all of those different congregations, from urban to suburban to the Hawaiian islands to large to small, those were different from the beautiful United Methodist congregations that I worshiped at when I was in Liberia a few years ago. And with all these Methodist congregations throughout the U.S., around the world, they're so quite diverse in regards to not only how they worship, but also in their theological diversity of the individual members that worship there, and kind of as the collective culture of the congregation. I would say, thank goodness for the diversity. Well, one thing that makes us United Methodists, and uniquely United Methodists, is an invitation to not check our brains at the door. United Methodists encourage critical thinking and turning to Scripture and making sense of our faith and of our life, but also encouraging to look at tradition and reason and experience, personal experience, to guide our faith and our life, and those things inform our understandings of Scripture. And so I say thank goodness for diversity of thought and practice, because it welcomes and it creates space for all of God's children to find a home. and a place and a sense of belonging. So long as we're all seeking to love God and love neighbor and do no harm as we live out that faith in the world. So while theological diversity, some can say, I think, can be a very beautiful thing within the church, it also means that we're not going to see things the same way, right? Our understanding of faith is not going to be the same. Not everyone's going to be on the same page or, you know, like sing from the same hymnal. Not all United Methodists think alike. There's this big spectrum of theology, especially when it comes to social issues. And so some people will see this as a blessing and others will see this as a curse, but that's really just kind of a reality of our world, that not two people think alike, not even two married people think alike, that there's a difference in beliefs around social issues particularly. And that's exactly where we find ourselves is in the United Methodist Church having conversations around human sexuality, that there's a variety of beliefs and perspectives. And so this leads me to some great curiosity this morning. Great curiosity. As we think about theological diversity within the church, around the world, and within our own congregation, it begs me to ask the question, are you willing to create space for theological diversity in the United Methodist Church? And more specifically, how it impacts us, are you willing to worship alongside and serve in ministry and serve in mission with people who may understand their faith differently than yourself? Are you willing to create space for theological diversity within our congregation, for a variety of understandings of interpretation? Or do you need people to believe exactly what you believe in order to be a part of the congregation? Just curious. Can we create a spacious church for all to belong? I asked that question, but I think that's who we already are, actually. I think we already are a spacious church where people can worship alongside each other and serve in mission and ministry and be involved in the congregation or in the choir or wherever your connection point is, and worship with people and serve with people and love people that maybe think or believe things slightly different than yourselves, different from one another. I think we are a spacious church of theological diversity because at its best, I think that's what it means to be the body of Christ, the diverse body of Christ. Remember a few weeks ago, if you were in worship, I referenced the scripture passage about the body of Christ, how we don't want to all be eyes, we don't all be ears, we don't all be toes, or all be, you know, noses, right? We got to have an eye, an ear, a toe, a nose, like all of it. We got to have the diversity. We all make up the body of Christ. And so I think at its best, we don't all have to be exactly on the same opinion about every single thing, but that can be the beauty of the body of Christ. So are you willing to be a part of a spacious church where there's space for the theological diversity, where we don't have to necessarily create cookie-cutter Christians, but instead welcome the theologically conservative and the theologically progressive and the centrist in between, in the middle, to be able to worship together and serve together and join in Bible study together and be a part of all the activities and the mission of the church? I think we can do that together. Are you willing to be compatible with people that find yourselves, if you're going to, you know, that are more conservative or progressive, are you willing to be a spacious church? Because I very much so am. I think that's what it means to be the body of Christ. Part of this theological diversity that makes up the Methodist Church is then, therefore, our varied understandings around human sexuality. And so some United Methodists hold more traditional views of human sexuality, others hold more progressive views, and yet we're all a part of the United Methodist Church. And not only around the world do we see this diversity of understanding between United States and Europe and Africa and in Asia, but we also find this diversity across our campuses, within our campuses at Brighton and Whitmore Lake, a diversity of understandings around human sexuality. And And it's very uneasy, I'll tell you, within our congregation to have conversations with members who respectfully will sit down and have a conversation with John or I or both of us, and they might respectfully share a perspective that's more conservative, and then a couple of hours later, I can have another conversation with somebody in our congregation that respectfully shares their opinions with that's more progressive. And there you can see the diversity in our congregation. Well, I'll tell you, I am so thankful for the respectful nature of those conversations and those many conversations I've had with people and dialogue or throughout the 3 years that we've been here. I find that engaging in conversation, when you do so respectfully, really shows that Christ-like character. And so I thank you for those conversations that not only you have with one another, but with myself. Especially when we're on issues of disagreement, especially when we're not always agreeing. I so appreciate the respectful nature, honestly, in which we have conversations with each other. Shows great Christ-like character. As the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, once said, he said, "Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike. May we not be of one may we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion. And without all doubt, we may there. Therefore, all the children of God may unite, notwithstanding these smaller differences. Though we don't always think alike, may we not love alike." So while we don't always think alike on these issues, we can have dialogue and conversation that's respectful as we have diversity of thought. For in this great denomination of the United Methodist Church, in this big tent church, there's plenty of space for people to belong, lots of space for a community to be created. And when we have these respectful conversations around human sexuality in the Methodist Church, you'll often hear things referenced around the Book of Discipline. If you've been a part of United Methodist Church for any number of years, maybe this is something that you've referenced. Perhaps you've heard about the Book of Discipline. The United Methodist Church's kind of official statements around polity and discipline, and it's kind of like church law, if you will. If you're ever having insomnia at 3 a.m., just crack open your Book of Discipline. You'll be right out like a light. Don't tell my seminary professors that. And in our most recent edition, we have a 2016 edition of it, and so you might or might not know this, that the United Methodist Church formed in 1968. It was born through the merger of the Methodist Church and the EUB Church, the Evangelical United Brethren Church. They merged in 68, so it's our 55th birthday to the Methodist Church. Happy birthday. And as the church formed in 68, then our doctrine and policy book, the Book of Discipline, we ended up with our edition of the 1972 first edition there that we call the Book of Discipline. Well, every 4 years, we have something called a general conference that gathers this worldwide gathering, this legislative policy-making body that speaks for the Methodist Church. It gathers every 4 years, and they're able to make some updates and changes to the Book of Discipline, to what the church, official church's stance is around human sexuality. Of course, you may be wondering, well, how come this 2016 edition is the most recent one if it's supposed to be updated all the time? Well, you maybe remember that it kept getting deferred year after year after year because of COVID. A global gathering, a body couldn't meet because visas couldn't be, secured and people couldn't gather this large body, this large gathering because of COVID. But we're anticipating a 2024 gathering of the General Conference. So in regards to human sexuality, you're able to access this online if you want to read in more deeply around what it says, but it gives says official church statements around marriage and ordination and same-sex marriage, and we anticipate perhaps some updates at the next 2024 General Conference in April and in May, as both delegates and laity gather for a time of conversation, and certainly conversations around human sexuality will be topics covered there. Well, certainly in the wake of all these conversations, no doubt many people have experienced hurt and experienced pain. There's some people that hope to have a more fully inclusive United Methodist Church, and they've been hurt by some of the church's official statements as recorded in the Book of Discipline. Others are hurt at the thought of trying to change what's currently in there. They affirm what's currently in the Book of Discipline. Others have decided to maybe not wait until General Conference to changes are made or not, and some people or individuals have even congregations as a whole, have decided to separate themselves from the Methodist Church, what we call a disaffiliation process. Perhaps you have heard of some congregations that have disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church, maybe becoming an independent church or joining another denomination. So the spring of 2022, you might remember when Pastor John and I were doing a number of town halls, either in person or Zoom, and we were sharing about the disaffiliation process if people choose to leave the Methodist Church, what that entailed. Maybe you remember that in the spring of 22. Well, currently our congregation doesn't have any plans of disaffiliating from the Methodist Church. Currently, our congregation is planning to continue to be a United Methodist congregation. And in midst of all of these conversations, these hard conversations, where I've seen a lot of respectful dialogue taking place, in the midst of these conversations, our bishop of the Michigan Conference, Bishop David Bard, has continued to have this commitment of creating a spacious conference. The whole Michigan area. And he's encouraging clergy and he's encouraging congregations to make spacious congregations where there can be this theological diversity, where a variety of perspectives can be present, where we might not always agree, but we can strive together to know God, to love God, to serve God, and to live our faith out into the world. And so with this spaciousness, it allows people with those with traditional and those with progressive views around human sexuality then together to worship together and serve in mission, to be a part of ministry. In such spaciousness, it creates unity in Christ. Now, not this blind unity that's just going to like overlook our theological differences and just try to shove it under the rug, but creates an awareness of it and willing to be the body of Christ that can respectfully disagree on such issues, but also seeking to learn from one another and listen to one another. And such spaciousness creates an opportunity for openness and growth and dialogue and seeing not to demonize another perspective, but seeing each other and looking into each other's eyes and seeing Christ in each other, even when we don't always agree, and knowing that we're all walking on this journey with Jesus Christ together, even when we have different perspectives. In our under construction sermon series in June and July, we've been looking at all the ways in which we're under construction. I guess the United Methodist Church is certainly under construction a little bit in this area around human sexuality, but really since 1972, we continue to have conversations around this topic. I mentioned Wesley earlier. I mentioned that he was the founder of the Methodist movement, and Wesley really focused strongly on loving God and loving neighbor. And he believed in receiving communion as often as you can and gathering for worship and fellowship and prayer and small groups and community. And he thought at the heart of it, we can't live life by ourselves. We can't live our Christian faith by ourselves, but community is so important. And he believed in forming classes and learning together for spiritual growth and accountability. And that's part of Wesley's understanding of discipleship. And so when we fast forward centuries later, United Methodists still hold fast to Wesley's understanding of gathering in community and study and prayer and our Christian journey together. So thank you. You guys are right on it. So starting in August 15th, Pastor John and I are going to invite you to be a part of a conversation, a four-week class. We're going to be co-leading this together. We're going to study and pray and have times of fellowship, maybe even sharing communion like Wesley encouraged. And we're going to discuss the topic that's been highly in the news or highly on in a lot of people's minds. and around human sexuality. And so you can see a picture of this book. We're going to be using the book called Living Faithfully, Human Sexuality in the United Methodist Church. It's going to be Tuesdays at noon, so you can join us in person or you can Zoom in on your lunch hour. It's going to start the 15th of August for 4 weeks. We'd really love to invite you to be a part of that conversation, for connection and for a time of dialogue and listening and learning from each other, to create space where we're not in an atmosphere of debate, but just to learn and to study. And the way I appreciate this book, because it kind of presents all sides of conversation and dialogue there. I hope you'll have a chance to be a part of it. If you want to pick up a book, just on the way outside of the community room is a high top table just right into the community room. You can pick up a book. They're $10.50. This morning, as Randy read our gospel lesson for us from John chapter 13, the 34th and the 35th verse, she read this scripture about a commandment that Jesus gave. I want us to hear it again. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So the context in which Jesus shared this is Jesus with his 12 disciples in the upper room on the night before he gave himself up for us by death on the cross, and he shared these words with them. They were breaking bread. They were sharing the Passover meal. Jesus was washing their feet. They were together in community. And as he taught and as he broke bread and as he ministered and he shared, he gave the disciples some last instructions that would really become lasting instructions for all of us to live by. "I give you a new command, that you love one another," Jesus says. "Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so this day and always, may we seek to love God and love our neighbor, for in so doing, we're living out that command that Jesus asks us to follow. May we seek to love as Christ loved, even in our times of disagreement with our neighbor, or even with our neighbor that we maybe have a different perspective, even with our neighbor who holds a different theological perspective. May we seek to love as Christ loved us, creating space to welcome and affirm and include and create community for all to belong of this great community of faith. There's more room in the pews, and there's more space in our Bible studies, and there's more opportunities to serve on our mission teams. There's a space for all to belong. We're going to be packing up this little set of construction stuff, and we'll be bringing out the VBS things this week. We won't be packing up the road construction outside. I wish we were. But as we're packing this up and as we're under construction this summer, and we've been pausing to think about how we're not only under construction outside, but inside the walls of the church and in our own lives, may we be aware of the way God is working and transforming us into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. And may this day and always, may the everlasting love of God be with you and felt within you, and may you seek to share that love with our neighbor. Amen.
Jesus is the answer. As we enter into a time of prayer, I just wanted to kind of go a quick little story about how I came up with today's prayer. So we talked about diversity, and 2 weeks ago, I experienced probably the most diversity I've ever experienced in my life. I stayed for a week in a bed and breakfast, and that was out of my comfort zone because, as you know, you eat breakfast with other people that you don't know. And talk about diversity. I think for 8 mornings, I experienced the most diversity of people I've ever had in my life. And that helped me to see all the people out there that I could possibly come in contact with. And I loved it. I met a mother and daughter. I met a gal and her mother-in-law. I met a brand new engaged couple who got engaged at the Ben Breakfast. There was a couple that were retired and were sailing around the world. He was originally from Italy. We met a couple that had just come from a clothing optional resort. We had discussions about marijuana gummies. I did not realize all the possible conversations and situations I could have found myself in. And I loved it. I loved every second of it, and I didn't want to leave. When I first started out, I was scared to death. And that's what came into my prayer today. All of that diversity went into what I'm praying with you today. So let's pray. Today we pray, Lord, for those two folks, Lee and Susan, who are going to get our prayer quilts, that we send forth all of the energy of healing and love that will go into these two quilts to surround them and let them know that we are praying for them. Lord, we lift up to you our prayers, our praise, and thanks as individuals and as a community seeking to follow your teachings, to be guided by your word, and that you will help us to spread these words to others. Our prayers go out for many needs and wants, some large and universal, and some small and personal. We pray for peace in the minds and hearts of those in need, peace amongst the worlds that face violence, and for those that find the violence in their houses. We pray for those seeking shelter, food, or medicine. We praise, pray for those experiencing trauma from natural disaster, victimization, or challenges. We pray for those that are experiencing mental health challenges. Help us to remember to pray for those in need beyond ourselves, to pray for ways that we can help to serve, and to pray for those with whom we do not see eye to eye or share the same views. And not just that they will agree with us in our opinions, but they will find peace and happiness in their own lives and their own opinions. May we praise your name for all the ways that you assist us and all of the paths that you provide for us to assist others. We don't always know your plan, but may we praise you even during those times that our plan and yours seem to diverge. Watch over us in challenging times, and sometimes when we consistently question you, we praise you and ask for more. And especially during those times when we turn our backs to you and come back and realize what we have done. This deserves a great deal of praise for your steadfast love. As humans, we tend to take life for granted and pick apart those of us around us that are deserving, to see if they're deserving of our praise. But may we take lessons from you through your forgiving ways and not save our praises only for big events, but for all of the small events. And finally, thank you for your forgiveness. For your seeing worth in us even when we need forgiveness for so many petty, harmful things that we do every day. Thank you for creating us with so many differences, but giving us the heart to see beyond these surfaces and to the depths of our humanity, which is the length. Thank you for allowing us redemption and for giving us the will to move on from mistakes, the ability to make goals, and the ability to grow throughout our lives, to never be stagnant in our knowledge or wisdom. And now let's take a moment to pray for our own personal prayers. And Lord, finally, we thank you for this time that we can pray together those words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our church is very involved in mission and ministries around the world, and this congregation has been incredibly generous in supporting a variety of missions. So I've been inviting forward Vern this morning to share a brief mission update with where things are going in Protovin.
Over 2 years ago, I brought to you the Ukraine refugee problem in Czech Republic in our partnership church, Protovin, and the camp that they supported, the church camp, Methodist Church Camp Post. And at that time, they had mothers and children that were flooding in to the Czech Republic and to Protovin itself. This congregation was very responsive, along with the Whitmore Lake congregations, in providing relief aid in terms of dollars to support their efforts in Protovin and at that church camp. Last year, over $10,000 was donated, and so far this year, $5,000 has been donated. But things have changed. I need to give you an update, and despite your various generous contributions, the funds are going to be diverted in a certain way. Many of the women and children have returned to Ukraine. Public schools have been told to accept any Ukrainian children in their school system, so Protovin were not teaching any children anymore. There are no mothers or children at the post church camp. And so for Protovin, our congregation, sister congregation there, it's only occasional need that has come up. So what's happening currently with the Czech United Methodist Church? They are supplying aid in Ukraine because that's where it's needed now. And that's medical equipment and supplies. And they have a working relationship with many Christian churches in Ukraine, supplying what they need to take care of the population. So you should know that at this time, any of your donations will not be going specifically to Protovin or to the church camp, and that may make a difference in your feelings about donating further. Our Protovin congregation sisters and brothers are very grateful. I've received numerous emails from Maluska, who is a lay leader there, expressing congregation praise to you and for your generosity, and they're very grateful. They thank you for your help, and you can continue to help if you wish in this new way. Thank you.
Thanks, Vern, for sharing your update, and thank you, congregation, for holding the women and children in your prayers and the ways you've responded with your generosity over the past couple of years. This time, I would invite the ushers to come forward to wait upon us as we receive our tithes and offerings.
We bring our offerings to you as part of worship. We ask that you bless them and guide us in making the best use of our resources so that we may embrace as many as possible with your loving arms through our community. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Church, may you go forth this day with the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May you go forth this day to love God and to serve your neighbor. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.